Proverbs chapter 12, friends, that's where we're going to be today. Proverbs chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, we have a couple. The ushers are coming down the aisle, so raise a hand if you'd like to receive a Bible from one of our ushers. They will hand you one if they have them available for you. And Proverbs chapter 12 is found on page 480 in those church Bibles that are being handed out. Page 480. Proverbs 12. In our series through the book of Proverbs, we're going to be looking at this book as we have the last few weeks, thematically rather than chapter by chapter, because that's how Proverbs is written. It's written in a thematic way. It discusses various principles and truisms that are applicable for everyday life, and very practical advice, very practical counsel from God's Word. And so because the book of Proverbs is written with various themes throughout all 31 chapters, what I'm trying to do with you is to kind of extrapolate the various verses that are along the same thematic line and then draw these verses out with you so we can all learn together what the Bible has to say and what God's counsel is regarding some of these themes. So far, we've looked at the topic of wisdom. That's kind of an overarching topic from the book of Proverbs. And the topic of money, the topic of sexuality, and then last Sunday we looked at the topic of friends and family. Today we're going to look at what Proverbs has to say about speech. What does Proverbs have to say about the way we use our words? It has a lot to say about the way we use our words. James chapter 3 verse 2 says this, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man." How many perfect people do we have here today? I don't think so. And if you raised your hand, well, now you're not perfect. So, because that's pride and lying. So, welcome to today's Bible study. We all have something to learn on this topic. So I'm going to read a few verses here, first from chapter 12 of Proverbs. Chapter 12, verse 13. "An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him." Verse 17, if you'll jump to verse 17. "A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment." So in those few verses I read, notice again verse 13, sinful talk. Verse 14, the fruit of his lips. Verse 17, a truthful witness, a false witness, lies. Verse 18 talks about reckless words, the tongue of the wise, and verse 19 about truthful lips and a lying tongue. So all of this and much more has to do with the topic of speech, and so that's what we're going to be looking at today. Let's first have a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you now for this time as we open up the Bible, as we look together in your word. We just ask you to speak to us, that you would use Proverbs as good counsel to us on this topic. We can all learn from this topic, Lord, so help us, challenge us, stretch us. May the things that we do well in regards to our speech be reaffirmed, and may the things that we don't do well in regards to our speech be challenged, so that we might grow closer to you and be more like Jesus in our lives, Lord. Thank you for this time together in your house. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. The average person, according to statistics, spends about a fifth of his or her life talking. If all of our words were put into print, the result would be this. A single day's words would fill a 50-page book. And in a year's time, the average person's words would fill 132 books of 200 pages each. That's just in a year. Think about over the course of a lifetime. I remember watching an interview that was being done on television with then U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist. And Rehnquist was asked what, in his opinion, was the most important skill that a person needed to possess, Rehnquist, without hesitation, said good communication skills. Good communication is important, whether it's verbal or nonverbal, whether it's oral or written. Good communication is absolutely critical for how we connect with one another. What we say, how we say it, why we say it, and when we say it are all important in terms of speech and communication. Even Jesus was very sensitive to what he said and how he said it, so much so that in John chapter 12, verse 49, he said, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." That Jesus was so concerned about words that he even says there, and this is a good verse for all of us to pray, that the Father would help us in not just what to say, but also how to say it. Even more sobering are the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, when he said that a man is going to be judged on the day of judgment for every careless word that he speaks. Verse 37 of Matthew 12 says, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So language, the way that we speak, the things that we say are very, very important to God. This is a very important topic for all of us. We all have room to grow in the area of verbal communication. Now, truth be told, though, there are some natural barriers, natural obstacles to good verbal communication, even when people are speaking the same language. Even when people are speaking the same language, there are some natural barriers to good communication. One natural barrier are cultural differences. You can be speaking the same language, but if you are from different cultures, words can mean different things. For example, in Australia, if someone says they've lost their thong, don't think underwear or bathing suit. Think flip-flops, because that's what they mean when they say thong. In the UK, when they say they have a bogey, they're not talking about their golf game. They're talking about junk in their nose. "Oh, I have a bogey. Do you have a tissue?" In the UK, if someone says they have a flat, it means they have an apartment. If you say you have a flat, it means you have a flat tire. Words mean different things. Same language, different culture. I remember when I was 19 and working to help put myself through school, I worked for this marketing firm and very close relationship with the owners of this business. And the owners also had hired a nanny in their home. And she was the same age I was. We were both 19, and she was from Great Britain. And in Great Britain, I didn't know this, in Great Britain, there's this expression, if I want to call you on the phone, the expression, there's a slang expression, "I'm going to knock you up." Well, we have that expression too in America, but that's a different slang meaning, right? It means to get somebody pregnant. So one time I'm having conversation with this 19-year-old nanny, same age as I was at the time, and she looks at me, she says, "Gary, do you mind if I knock you up in the morning?" You naughty nanny. I mean, you know, that's... But it's cultural difference. We're speaking the same language, but words and phrases mean different things. If it's not cultural differences that are a natural barrier to communication, how about gender differences? Ever noticed how men and women say things a little bit differently? And the meaning to a man is sometimes different than the meaning of a word to a woman, and different phrases can be completely misunderstood, even though you speak in the same language. Listen, guys, when you ask your wife or your girlfriend, "Is anything wrong?" and she says, "Nothing." Nothing almost always means something, friends. Especially when it's followed up with the words, "I'm fine." "Honey, is anything wrong?" "Nothing." "You sure you're okay?" "I'm fine." Translation, if you had half a brain, you'd know what was wrong with me. It's true. When a man says, for example, Boy, I'm not hungry at all. That means he's had half a cow and he's already full. He can't eat another bite. When a woman says, I'm not hungry, what she means is, go ahead and order whatever you want. I'm just going to be picking off your plate. That's what it means. When a woman says, I'm sorry, what she means is she feels that. And I want closure and I want to be close. So let's forgive and be forgiven. When a man says, I'm sorry, what he means is I want peace. I have no idea what I did wrong. There are cultural differences. There are gender differences in communication. And thirdly, there are also generational differences. Have you ever noticed how people from two different generations, words and terms mean different things? You can be saying stuff and you're not connecting because they mean different things to different people. I remember a story that a lady shared with me a few years ago that she had a conversation with her daughter. Now, she, mom, was about 60, daughter was about 30, and so they're having this conversation, this is a few years ago, about the 45th anniversary of the moonwalk, okay? Mom, 60-ish, says to her daughter, hey, today's the 45th anniversary of moonwalk. Daughter says, it wasn't 45 years ago. Daughter, who's 30, says it was only about 20, 25 years ago. Mom says, no, I know exactly what I'm talking about. It was 45 years ago. Daughter says, no, you don't. I remember seeing it for the first time, and it happened only about 20 or 25 years ago. Mom says, you couldn't possibly have seen it. You weren't even born. This was 45 years ago. And they went on and on. Because mom was talking about Neil Armstrong, daughter was talking about Michael Jackson. They were both talking about the moonwalk. But two different generations, it meant two different things to. So there's differences. There's natural barriers to speech and communication. And what we need to understand, the advice that Proverbs gives us, is that first of all, speech is about four things. These are important to note because all aspects of speech, and we're talking about verbal communication, that's what Proverbs deals with here primarily. There's nonverbal communication, there's written communication, there's all different ways we communicate. But for the purpose of our study here, Proverbs deals primarily with speech, with verbal communication, and speech is about four things. Here they are. Number one, it's about content. It's about what we say. Number two, it's also about tone, how we say it. Number three, it's about purpose, why we even say it. And number four, speech is also about timing, when we are to say it. And since Proverbs talks about all four of these aspects of speech, we're going to be looking at these aspects. And again, my purpose in going through Proverbs is my particular mission here is looking at all the various verses through Proverbs that deal with this topic of speech, kind of categorize them for us, and then put these verses together. And these verses speak for themselves. But what I'd like us to do is look at these verses that we're going to be seeing here as we survey Proverbs and just ask the Lord, Lord, just, you know, gently affirm an area I might be doing well in, but challenge me in the areas where I need to grow and improve. Because all of us have room for improvement when it comes to speech. So, let's talk about the first category first. Content. What we say. There are several kinds of speech that Proverbs warns against. Slander, gossip, lies, flattery, and deception. We'll go through these one by one, and I'll give a basic working definition, even though we primarily know what these words mean, but just so we have working definitions. First of all, there's many warnings about slander. Slander is evil, malicious talk intended to damage or destroy another person. Proverbs 10:18 says this, "He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." All right, the Bible speaks against slander. Different passages. Colossians 3:8 is another example. Paul is listing some sins that we need to get rid of in our lives. And in Colossians 3:8, it starts out with saying anger, rage. It talks about malice. And then he mentions slander and filthy language from our lips. He says, get rid of all this stuff. And slander is right there in that category. They're in Colossians 3:8. Slander is a terrible thing because we can do damage to someone, and it's very difficult to recover when somebody says something that is slanderous against somebody. So Guard your mouth against slander, evil, malicious talk intended to damage or destroy another person. Another thing that the Bible warns us about here in Proverbs is gossip. Now, there are six different verses throughout Proverbs warning us and condemning gossip. Here's one of them, Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Gossiping is when we tell rumors or revelation of personal or sensational facts about others. So we need to refrain from gossiping. That verse there in Proverbs 11:13 says, when we betray a confidence, it's a terrible thing. A trustworthy person keeps a secret. I mentioned this last week when we talked about friends and family. You want to kill a friendship quicker than anything? Repeat a matter that you heard in confidence. That is a relationship killer. We need to learn to keep a confidence and not to gossip. And by the way, don't entertain gossip either. Because I guarantee you, if someone is gossiping to you about someone else, they will also gossip about you to somebody else as well. If you entertain gossip, you better believe they're going to gossip about you too. So we need to be able to put the brakes on and say to somebody, you know what, that sounds like gossip to me, I don't want to hear it. But because many times we love the juicy bit of latest information, we entertain that stuff. Instead, what we need to be doing is saying, I'm sorry, that's sounding to me like gossip, and I really don't want to be a party to that. So neither should we be gossipers, nor should we entertain gossip. Also, Proverbs 20:19 tells us, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. We also are warned about the content of our speech in regards to lies, which are false statements about something or someone. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Notice, he detests. God actually detests certain things, and lying lips is on that list. In fact, it also tells us in Proverbs 6:16-17, that there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him, and in the list of seven in verse 17 is a lying tongue. Now, it's interesting to note, in that list there in Proverbs 6, when it talks about six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him, three out of the seven things that are detestable to God have to do with our speech. Lying lips, a false witness, and a man who stirs up dissension. And dissension is stirred up because somebody's talking and saying things to stir up dissension. Three out of seven things God hates has to do with improper speech. Lying tongue, a false witness, and one who stirs up dissension. Look, John 8:44, Jesus said that who is the liar and the father of lies? Who? Satan. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. So when we lie, we are actually not identifying ourselves with our Heavenly Father. We're identifying ourselves with Satan himself because he is a liar and the father of lies. Well, Pastor G, what about a white lie? Still a lie. You know why we tell white lies? Is because we don't have the verbal dexterity to say the truth in a very kind and gentle way. So, you know, it's Christmas time and Aunt Martha is going to show up at your house with that same daggone fruitcake she brings every year. And you don't like fruitcake. You've never liked fruitcake. And so here comes Aunt Martha with the fruitcake. And then you say to her, oh, I love fruitcake. Oh, thank you. And you take the fruitcake from her. You don't like fruitcake. It's a doorstopper when Aunt Martha leaves. You throw it in the trash and then you talk about how, oh, Aunt Martha just brings this fruitcake every single year. Okay, tell Aunt Martha the truth. I mean, just savor the hassle of bringing a fruitcake to your house every year. Now, you don't have to be abrasive or harsh. You can say, Aunt Martha, listen, you're fruitier than your cake. I really don't want it. You don't have to be unkind, but you can just simply say, Aunt Martha, you know what I love most? It's not that you bring a fruitcake. I just love that you come to Christmas. And I really don't need your fruitcake anymore. Thank you so much for always bringing it, but I really don't need a fruitcake. To be honest with you, they're really not my favorite thing.
and just gently tell her how much you love her. Thank you for coming for Christmas. I just don't want your fruitcake. Instead of just lying, even the white lies get us in trouble because they're not sincere. They're not honest. God wants us to be sincere and honest people. And if you can't say it in a right way, then just don't say anything at all. But don't lie about it, because lying is condemned in Scripture. Also, the what of our speech that is condemned is flattery, which is insincere or excessive praise of another. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Most people can see when you're just pouring it on thick. So flattery, you know, might be something that you think ingratiates yourself with someone, but most people can tell when it's insincere and just excessive praise, and it really does ruin. It doesn't do anything good. So the Bible warns us against flattery. And then also it warns us against deception, which is the act of misleading or misinforming another. Proverbs 24:28, do not testify against your neighbor without cause or use your lips to deceive. Now, how is deception different from lying? Because it's misinformation or it's misleading. So it would be like this. So mom and dad ask teenage son or daughter the question, so who exactly are you going to go to the movie with? I'd like to know who they are. What are their names? And so teenage son or daughter rattles off four names. So these are the people I'm going to the movie with, which is true. But there's actually a fifth person who's in the group, but they don't tell mom and dad the name of the fifth person because they know mom and dad don't like person number five, and that they probably wouldn't be allowed to go to the movie if they said, this is the person who's in our group. So withholding the information, well, I didn't technically lie. No, because you gave them four names out of five. But you deceived because you withheld information and you misled them because you knew. So that's deception. And the Bible condemns that as well. Not only what we say, but also number two, the tone, how we say it. I read this quote. Somebody said, quote, I'm careful of the words I say to keep them soft and sweet. I never know from day to day which ones I'll have to eat. So keep your tone soft and sweet. And in the book of Proverbs, the tone of our words, it tells us, four things should be pleasant, gracious, kind, and gentle. Here's the first one on that list. Proverbs says that our words should be pleasant. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Our tone should be pleasant. We should work on how we come across, sweet like a honeycomb. It also tells us in Proverbs that our words should be gracious. Proverbs 22, verse 11, he who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Our speech needs to be gracious, not condemning or judging, but just grace-filled. You know, in the same way that we've experienced the grace of God, we should also be people who speak words that are gracious to other people, who express grace to people. Let our words be pleasant. Let our words be gracious. Also on the list, Proverbs says, let our words be kind. In Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. You and I actually have the ability to bring cheer to someone just by the way we speak with kind words. Let our kind words cheer up another. And then also, finally, in terms of the section on tone, our words should be gentle. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So a gentle word turns away wrath. So you know when somebody comes to you and they're all fired up, they're all jacked up about something, and you know they're angry, you can actually diffuse their wrath with a gentle word. Just the way that you respond gently. But you know how typical it is when somebody is elevated and escalated in their tone, and then in response, you get elevated and escalated, and then the two of you are just going at it like with elevated, escalated voices. But if one person is the one, I'm just going to diffuse this. I'm just going to speak with a gentle tone. It's amazing how that other person will bring it way down too. Conversely, the rest of that verse says, if you speak harshly, well, it just stirs up anger. So a harsh tone will bring about anger. A gentle tone will come the wrath. Now, number three, what about the purpose? Why are we to say what we say? Proverbs tells us several things: to promote healing, to cheer someone up, to instruct, to correct, and to compliment. Number one, to promote healing. This is Proverbs 12:18. We read it at the beginning of our study. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You and I actually have the ability to afflict someone with our words, or to bring about growth and healing by the things that we say. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the power of the spoken word. I'm just talking about when we actually are careful to monitor our words, we have the ability to produce something beneficial in someone's life. It actually contributes to their well-being, versus when we don't guard our words, we can actually afflict them and wound them with the things that we say. So the Bible tells us if you want a good reason why to say something, bring healing to someone. Bring well-being to someone by the way that you speak to them. Also, number two, this is kind of a repeat from the tone section, because I already quoted Proverbs 12:25, but an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Make it your mission and your ministry to cheer up someone that you see is sullen by just speaking a kind word to them. Also, it tells us the why of speech and the purpose of it is to instruct. In Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. God bless those of you who are teachers and homeschool moms and dads, and all of us who have responsibility to instruct the next generation, or you serve in a role where you have some kind of a teaching responsibility, because the words that we use are important in instructing others. It promotes instruction. Also, our words are sometimes to correct. In Proverbs 25:12, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. So sometimes we have to say something that's a rebuke. It's a word of correction. It's a word of admonition. And if it is received by the right person, because Proverbs also says that somebody who's a fool doesn't heed a word of correction or rebuke. But if someone is open to correction, it's like a wonderful thing. That's why it says here about how it's like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold. It can be a very good thing to say in the right way, right tone, a correcting word. Also, it's good for us to compliment. Another purpose of our speech should be to compliment. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. Now, this kind of has a dual meaning, doesn't it? Because it's a warning that we should never go around tooting our own horn, talking about ourselves, and be self-promoting people. Okay, that's not a good thing. Nobody likes to sit and listen to you talk about yourself all the time. Okay, so don't praise yourself. Let another do that. But that's the other aspect of this verse. While we shouldn't go around talking about ourselves, other people, we should always look to the interest of others and say a complimentary word. To say something that is affirming, that is appreciative, that is complimentary of another individual. And this is what that verse is saying. We shouldn't be the people to do that ourselves about us, but others, we should take an interest in looking at other people in our lives and saying things that are admirable and encouraging and complimentary. So that should also be our ambition. Finally, number four on this list of speech is timing. When to say something is critical. It's not just what, it's not just, you know, the tone, how, it's not just the reasons, the purpose, the whys, it's also the when. There's a time to talk, and there's a time to keep our mouths shut. Proverbs has a lot to say about the problem of talking too much. Okay, the problem usually is not that we're not saying enough. The problem is we say too much. We say things, a lot of times we say things before we think. A lot of times we say things and then we should have stopped, but you know, we just are like digging the hole, but we keep saying things. Okay, the overwhelming warning in Proverbs about talking is the warning about talking too much. Yeah, there's a brother who knows what I'm talking about. Abraham Lincoln said this, quote, "Better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you are a fool than to open your mouth and remove all their doubts." So here are some verses to remind us about restraining the tongue. Proverbs 10:19, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." Proverbs 21:23, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." Or how about this verse from Proverbs 17:27-28? "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." Do you talk too much? Has your talking too much gotten you in too much trouble? Calvin Coolidge once said, quote, "I have never been hurt by anything I didn't say," end quote. These verses remind us about an appropriate, timely word. Proverbs 15:23, "A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word." Proverbs 25:11, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." In other words, it's a very picturesque thing. You know, like think of a painting of apples of gold in a bowl of silver. The idea is when you speak a word that is timely, it's a very beautiful thing. A word that is said too soon or too late can be hurtful or offensive or neglectful, but a word that is right on time is what God wants us to be about, which means we need the wisdom of the Lord and we need discernment. When to hold our tongue, when to say something, when we've said too much, when we've said too little. We need God's help to be able in conversation to know there are times that we're just going to hear that inner voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't say it right now. This is not the right time. It's necessary for you to say it, but it's not the right time, and God's going to show you a better time to say it." Sometimes things are too raw. You have to allow some time for something to heal before you can even say a word aptly spoken, because it won't be like apples of gold in settings of silver if you speak it in the wrong time. So we have to be very, very sensitive to this. Sometimes we are so preoccupied on just the right way to say it. I want to make sure I say this information just right. Yeah, well, that's not the only thing we should be concerned about. We should also be concerned about, is this even the right time to say it? Sometimes we need to pray it and not say it. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouths shut and let God work it out. This is a very sensitive thing. Proverbs does not take this subject lightly. God doesn't take this subject lightly. Every careless word we're going to be judged about. God keeps record of everything we say. Every whisper in the corner will be shouted from the rooftops. So we have to be really sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What are some things that He wants us to tighten up in our lives concerning our speech? What to say, when to say, why we even say it. The tone in which we say it. All of it has to be carefully weighed before the Lord. And this is a subject He wants us to take very, very seriously. A couple more verses and then we'll close. Proverbs 29:20. "Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him." And Proverbs 18:13. "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." I'm going to summarize all of this from the book of Proverbs with a verse from the book of James. The Apostle James said something important for us. In James 1, verse 19, here it is. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." It's been said, you've heard it, the reason why God gave us two ears and one mouth was because He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. May God help us in the use of our speech to reflect Him well in what we say, in how we say it, in why we say it, and when we are to say it. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let's pray together and ask for His help. Lord, we pray James 1:19, in summary of all these verses from Proverbs, that we would be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Lord, give us listening ears. May we be more attentive to what other people say rather than always trying to talk so much. Help us to listen. Help us to be good listeners. And let us be slow in speech. And when we do speak, may our words be weighed. May we take seriously what we say. May the content of our words be considered carefully. May we also consider the tone of our words. Are our words pleasant, kind, gentle? May we weigh the reasons why we say what we say. Do we say these things to bring healing to somebody? Do we say these things to cheer them up, sometimes to correct, many times to compliment? Guard our speech, Lord. And give us the right timing. Sometimes, Lord, we're a fool for opening our mouths, when instead we should just keep silent. May we be sensitive to the right timing in the things that we might say to someone, so that in all of this, the what, the how, the why, the when of our speech, Lord, would bring glory to you, would honor you, and would be edifying to others. But we need your help in this area, Lord. Set a guard over the door of my mouth. Help us, Lord, to be men and women and young people who take very seriously the words that we say. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.